If I was going to title the sermon this morning, it would be, "You Can Recover All." And the Lord began to deal with me about that. But I began to realize, you know, what the man was really saying as I began to walk with God and talk with God. And how many knows it's meant for me and you to fellowship with God on a daily basis. Not just tell Him what we want and not just telling Him, "Get down there, God, move, God." You know, nothing wrong with all of that. See, we're supposed to live in a place to where we hear Him and we usurp our authority through Him. You know, He said He would supply how many of our needs? According to what? His riches. How rich is God? See, there is nothing too big for God. There's nothing too challenging for God. But see, we got to see ourselves down here authorized by the Lord to take authority over situations, to believe Him. Praise God. I was just thinking about it. Monty was standing at the door and he was greeting us and all of that. And I told him, I said, because of yesterday, I said, I'm making different choices. The men's meeting was real good. He talked about choices and all of that, you know, and it was really, really good. And my wife was backing in. We'd been married 40 years. And is it right? 40, ain't it? 4 decades. Imagine that. And she's backing through, and I said, it works. I said, it works. I said, look. And she's backing in. I said, it's been working for 40 years. That's talking about my wife, living with her. Some of y'all got to be graced to live with your husband. Y'all quiet. Some of you got to be graced to live with your wife. Some of you got to get out of yourself so you can live with yourself. You know, the Lord spoke to me probably, I guess, about 6-8 weeks ago or whatever, in time of listening for Him and all of that. And He said, they can't forgive themselves. Some of us, you know, we've done some bad things in the past and made a lot of mistakes and all of that. And Satan just takes our lunch. I mean, he just whips us with it all the time because we can't find it in ourselves to forgive ourselves. And you know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, you take it. And I brought it here. And I told him, you don't have to forgive yourself. I said, He forgive you. Right? What it says after that, Paul said, forgetting those things behind. Right? I'm sure Paul could have been beat up if he hadn't have done that, killing Christians and torturing them and coming into services like this and taking us up, Preston, and taking us and having us killed and beat for serving Jesus. I'm sure Paul had a lot in his past that he had to try to forgive himself. But I don't believe he did. I believe when he gave his heart to Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, I believe that king rose up on the inside of him, King Jesus. I believe that man rose up on the inside of him, the same spirit, that the same one that's came in us, hallelujah, same spirit that raised Jesus in from the dead lives in us. I mean, he lives in us, and he says he'll quicken our mortal bodies by his spirit. So if you're struggling with that, you'll leave here today and you'll say, I don't have to forgive myself, but God, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been forgiven for all of that devil. And you remind him, and when he brings it back to you and you tell him, you might as well shut up. You've been torturing me for all of these years, and I'm going to recover all. I will recover all. I got born again and they sang a song at church and it says, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back. I didn't know that was in the scriptures. I did not have no idea that song was out of the scriptures. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. And I'm in there and I'm like, nah, Jesus is going to have to give it back. I was a baby Christian, sir. I didn't know that I'm supposed to go in the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from me. while I wasn't serving God. Or all the things that he came in and he convinced me that God didn't want me to have, and I laid them down in life. I found out in the Bible that God wanted me to have a good marriage. Now, I'm still working on it 40 years later. But it's not because I like every attitude she has. I don't believe she waits on me like she needs to. I don't believe, I'm just telling you the truth here now. You know, and I don't believe she talks to me sweet as she ought to. You know, I don't believe she acts like she ought to all the time. I actually went to God back yonder and I said, God, I believe I married the devil's daughter. Now, when I got saved, I got saved. I don't know about you. If you didn't get saved, you didn't. And today can be your day that you can get born again. If you don't know that you're born again, you're not saved. I know on the inside that I'm born again. I know that I'm born again. I don't have to sit there and think at night, if I die tonight in my sleep, a stroke or whatever, that's not going to happen to me. But I don't have to lay there and wonder if I'm going to make heaven. I know that I'm going to make heaven. I know I got born again down yonder. And so I have a lot of reasons and evidence from the enemy that my wife don't love me. But I'm going to be married 40 more years, Preston, if Jesus don't come back. You know why? Because I found out that I didn't have to give in to the way I feel anymore. I found out that my satisfaction don't come from my wife doing everything, or your husband doing everything to fulfill you. I found out that I can go to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that Teresa taught us about today and say, help me, strengthen me, help me, Lord, to stand. I know you want me to be married. I told Teresa this morning, I told her, I said, you know, I said, we raised Travis, and I said, well, she reading in the Bible, and she found out that the babies were a blessing from the Lord, and that Travis had been loaned to us, is what she said back there when he was 2 years old. He's been loaned to us. And you know, and she's just bold about it. She said, God has put Travis into our lives, and I felt like, after she said it, I felt like that's the way Jesus was with Mary and Joseph. You know, she just gung-ho on that. Boy, ain't no Pokemon coming in our house, right? Ain't no witchcraft coming through that TV teaching him garbage. Ain't no, she was dead set on this stuff, and I even had to go to Mama out there, and cause Mama let him watch the devil. She loved him. See, I found out I'd have to go tell Mama. I'd say, Mom, now look, you know, I'm not so big on this, but Teresa is dead set that God has loaned us our son. And she's dead set on raising him up in the admonition of the Lord. And I told my mama, I said, Mom, I said, now that, I said, that's going to go against you sometime. I said, don't take it personal. I said, we got to follow Jesus in this. And I said, so there's certain things we're not going to let him watch out here. There's certain things he can't listen to. Cussing and all that, he can't be around it. If it's out here, he's not coming. Teresa demanded it. And then I was to go like Jesus. Go tell him. But the one I'm talking about is not a year and a half old anymore. He stood before you with that guitar on. 33 years later. 32, 30. And I told her this morning, I was standing. I'm not just telling you my story. I'm telling you the Holy Spirit began to lead us and guide us in what we should do with him and what we should let him around. And we started being convicted about things in our own life that we were all of that. That was that Holy Spirit, like a dove. Because we didn't know, Preston, that he was going to stand here one day. We didn't have no idea. We didn't know. But you know what I told her this morning? I said, you know, we trained him in the Word, and we fasted, and we saw, and we did the things that we believed. I mean, he's 4 or 5 years old, and they're preaching on TV in the living room, and the voice gets under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and just begins to run and praise God in that living room. And it wasn't because he's special. Look at him. He ain't nothing. But he's anointed. See, we're nothing without God. Our life is really like a vapor. A few years and we live here and we're gone. Right? And Athena was back there. Well, I love that little girl. I told her, I said, I'm going to baptize you. I'm going to dunk her in water. She ain't but 2 or 3 or whatever she is. But she's back there, you know, and she, you know, she's a little loud. She's a baby. She wants out. She wants to run and be free and all of that stuff. You know, she's back there and she's doing. And so I went and I tapped Momo. I guess what they call her, Momo. I tapped Momo on the shoulder. I said, "This season's short. This season's short." In other words, keep on putting them in the presence of God. Amen. Because that season is short. Before you know it, there'll be some structure. There'll be a little age. There'll be a little more and all of that. Praise God. Why? That's what we did with our son. Hallelujah. Jesus, give me that scripture. That's all I'm going to preach on that, I reckon. That's good. It's tough, right? That's some good stuff. Hallelujah. Give me that, I think, Mark 10. Mark 10. Now, last Wednesday, I want to express this. I believe it's in Acts chapter 27 and 28. It's the story of Paul. It's the story of this is Jesus here, where he said, "No man leaves mother, father, lands, brothers, and sisters for my sake and the gospel's, and loses anything." You don't lose your marriage, right? You won't lose the house you desire. You won't lose having a nice vehicle. You won't lose your kids. We can lose our kids to this world. If this world is influencing them more than we're getting the kingdom to influence, we have a bigger chance of losing them to the world. We can stand by faith all we want to and confess it all we want to. But there are certain things. We got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We got to follow the leading. Travis come to me one time. I guess I am back on it. Travis come to me one time and he said, "Dad," he said, "everybody's getting to hang out with him and blah, 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 blah." You know how those kids are. Want to go hang out. And I looked at him and I said, "Well, son," I said, "let me tell you something." Now, this is hard for a dad, Ed, what I'm fixing to tell you, because I felt like I'm making him miss out on all the fun, on all the getting together, and the cliques, and I felt all that. I felt all of it. But I told him, I looked at him and I said, "Son," I said, "you'll understand one day." I said, they're not going where you're going. They're not going to become what you are. I said, "It's not that I don't want you to have fun and hang out, son, but they're bad influence. You can't see it. You just think you're missing out on life, and that's fine." And I took a chance of not being a friend to my son, Preston. I'm not called to be his friend. I'm called to be his father. Mothers are not called to be our kids' friends. We're called to be their parents, to nurture them, to turn them on to God. Abraham was chose because God said that I knew that he would teach his kids about me. I knew that he would bring them to church. I knew that he would talk about them at home. I would talk about him on the job. He knew that Abraham, that he's chose us, and he knows when we're thinking right and all of that, and we are right spiritually. And I have to stay right spiritually because I won't lead in the right way, and you won't either. You won't lead your kids in the right way in the wrong spirit. Mad and angry. If any of y'all's got anything, you're a Christian. If you've got anything against anybody, leave it in this church today. You dump it. You get rid of it. And you determine, I've not got time to miss out on life and peace and joy and the Holy Spirit by holding this in my heart, whatever the reason. Nobody has the right to hold you captive. Nobody can hold us captive. I choose to forgive before I'm even done wrong. I've made up my mind ahead of time. You know, it's kind of like my dad used to say, lay up for a rainy day, which that's the old world saying. You know, we don't have to do that. We need to have a savings account. It's called, you know, we need to have a savings account. How can we ask God to bless something we ain't got? God, increase my savings. God, I mean, we can recover all. Hallelujah. And so we can't lead in a wrong spirit. That's why we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit of God. Learn that Bible. Learn the Bible. I read that Bible one day and it says, love your enemies. And I hated some people and I had plans against some people on this earth right here that I was going to carry out at a later date when their life changed and got to the place to where I wanted it. I was going to step in and I was going to get vengeance. And I read that one day and it says, love your enemies. I shut that Bible and I told Teresa, I was 28 years old. I said, I don't like that. Because I could imagine me loving them at the moment that I seen that. How many knows that is the Holy Spirit? That's not you. That is you. You put your hands into a God that is love. That, I mean, loves the murderers over in prison. Loves the kids rapists over there in prison. Loves those. He loves them. He loves those Muslims. They want to come over and convert us to their dead God. Their God is dead. There ain't but one true living God. One. There's only one. And He's give us the same power that we're putting ourselves on the cross when we begin to say, God, I'm getting in agreement like Jesus. I don't like that. I mean, for days I would try to pray and that scripture would come to my thoughts and I would bind Satan. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Now, you might laugh about it, but I thought it was Satan reminding me of that. I didn't know that was God. And one day I'm praying and the Lord spoke to me and he said, listen, he said, my word is not to destroy you even though it feels against you. He said, my word, if you will embrace it, will set you free. And that day I made up my mind. I thought, okay, Lord, they saying you have to do this garbage by faith. I still would cuss a little bit then. I mean, just because you're a Christian don't mean you can't cuss. If cussing's in you, you get under enough pressure, you're going to cuss. If it's in you. Right? But if you've drove all that out, if you've drove it all out, that ain't going to control you and that's not going to come out of your mouth anymore. All of your conversation that comes out of your mouth will become in line with the gospel and it will bring edification to everybody you're around. Let your conduct edify conversations. See, the Bible says that our words should be like healing medicine to anyone we hear that hears us. Healing. Hallelujah. But Jesus said that, I was going to bring this up. Paul. Now, I'm going to express this really, really strongly at this place, and I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what the devil thinks. I don't care what leaders think. I'm telling you, in the last days, the church is, the enemy is going to come in and he's going to try to convince people even more that church is not important. But I'm going to tell you, the scripture don't change. I mean, it ain't changed in over 2,000. Every time I read it 30 years later, it says, forsake not the assembling. I read it and it says God told them to go in the upper room in that gathering and wait on him. I find that Jesus went to the synagogues and teached and preached. That's churches. He went himself. He went himself to the synagogues and all of that stuff, you know. And I just heard a sermon from a guy that pastors have laid their health down pastoring. They've suffered financially pastoring. And they found a new way, Chris. A new freedom in Christ Jesus. That these man-made institutions have been breaking them, talking about Preston the church. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to take it to the church. He said, and I want you to tell them you can't find the word church. When Paul was on that ship over there, he was took prisoner. He was a prisoner on that ship sailing to Asia over there. They're taking him to have him punished and all of that stuff. And a storm rose and began to tear that ship apart and all of that stuff, and an angel of the Lord appeared. Teresa talked about some things this morning. Your thoughts are spiritual. Every thought you have is spiritual. Everything spiritual is not God. If I have a thought to commit adultery on my wife, that's spiritual. Because we have a spiritual devil, right? That is why God says in 2 Corinthians over there, Paul said it this way, casting down thoughts and everything that comes against the knowledge of God. Bring those things, those why? Because they're spiritual. Every thought is spiritual. But every thought's not God. That's why we have to renew our mind to the Word of God. If I ever don't, I don't ever feel it. But at times I have felt like I didn't love Teresa anymore because of the circumstances, attitudes, and the way that she was making me feel. And I had to come to the place to where you walk by faith and not by sight. And then I walked by faith, and then once I began to do that, her attitude changed, and everything changed. I was like, oh, I'm controlling her by faith. Y'all learning, right? Y'all going to get married, right? You need to know these things way ahead of time. The man of the house, it's a joy to be her husband. I mean, I'm the best thing ever happened to her other than Jesus Christ. Why? Because I've got a destiny with God. Because I walk with God. Because I'm led by God, hallelujah, and endeavoring to be more led by Him every day. She asked the Lord, what clothes does my husband need to wear today? She wants to know what God wants me to wear to church. I know you're quiet because you're learning, right? Hallelujah. He wants to be involved. But he says, and you can't put him first and lose. Jesus answered and said, verily I say, this is red letters. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or land for my sake and the God. You put him first before all of these. It don't mean you neglect, you just deny them and that you just wipe them off like they're no, but you put him first over these things. Right? He said, no man, you won't lose them. You won't lose your sons. You won't lose your daughters. You won't lose your finances. Put him first. You won't lose your marriage. Put him first. Get out of the emotional. See, Teresa, she's more emotional. She's emotional. I don't need emotions to survive. I've been trained to survive through my family with 17. Right? See, I don't know how to fulfill her But if I'll follow the Holy Spirit, He will cause me. He'll tell me, buy her some flowers. And I'll be like, that's the last thing I'm going to buy. I'm going to buy her a belt. Right? See, whenever things are not favorable to us, that's when these demonic thoughts will start. They're spiritual. You'd be better off if you didn't have this, if you had that, or you'd be better off if you had that and that. That's the enemy trying to say, come on, just do like Eve. Just take these thoughts. Come on, just take them, just take them. Come on, just take them, just take them. Take them and run with them. I want you to run with them. What did it do to Adam and Eve? It brought them into bondage, separated them from God. I mean, took them out of the blessing of the Lord, which maketh rich and out of no sorrow. He said, no man has left father, mother, sister, father, mother, children, or land for my sake, but he shall receive how much? How much? Can you even say it? How much you gonna receive? Right? I didn't write it. I don't have the power to make it happen for you. Jesus said you can. He said, if you put me first, you did it this morning. You could have stayed at home. You could have not come to the house of God. You could have not sought God, whatever, and you wouldn't be bothered with this. You would not be bothered with this morning. This is a good bother. He said, but he shall receive a hundredfold. When? Right now, right? What? Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with and in the world to come. He's not talking about salvation right here like some ministers told me. This is talking about salvation. That's not. He says it at the end of it, don't he? He said, and sisters, mothers, brothers, and lands, with and in the world to come, right? That's after here. He separated them too. And in the world to come, eternal life. So see, Jesus wants you to have a hundredfold in your marriage. He wants you to have, I told my mom one time, she dated this guy, and or not dated him, went out with him, and let's come back, I wouldn't have a man, ain't no man gonna tell me, blah, 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 blah. And I said, Mama, I said, listen, I said, you're so set in your ways, God can't send you somebody. You know, your chihuahua's worth more than them. You know, they got to be able to spank your chihuahua, Mama. You know, I tell you right now, I knock them in the head with a frying pan, they spank my chihuahua. What I'm saying is, see, she's so locked in, Preston, to that. Selfish. Self-centered, not meaning to be. Ain't nobody going to tell me, no. Well, it's going to disrupt your life. God's going to disrupt your life. You understand? To follow Jesus, He's going to disrupt my life. He's going to disrupt it, but He's going to construct it. See, he begins to, kind of like my pastor preached one time, he said, you know what? He said, you cannot hang yourself on the cross. He said, you can't do it. He said, you can nail but one, both feet. He said, you might could get that one hand nailed. He said, but how are you going to get the other one? He said, you can't do it. He said, you can't crucify yourself. He said, you've got to let the Lord work in that crucifixion. You've been buried, crucified, and resurrected. He said, you've got to start identifying with that man that's already crucified, that old man for you. And you've got to begin to identify on the inside with that man, and that man then puts you on the cross. He's already did it for you. I mean, the work's been finished. People have told me for years, and I came through it all the way through it, that I would never make it in my marriage. 40 years, that's a lie. I wouldn't believe the lie. The Bible says, let every man be a liar, but his word's truth, right? Everybody didn't know. Everybody don't have the answer for you. Everybody, Travis, he starts building his shop over there and got this vision, runs into a rock, and he quit. And I'm like, that's what he's done. Get off. Just get off the backhoe.
Mommy. I was going to build a shop till the rock.
I told him, I said, well, There ain't but one way, and that's up. Get in that dump truck and go over there, and don't let the rocks stop your dream. Don't let the bad times in your finances right now stop this from happening in your life. You believe God for a hundredfold. You're contrary to what it feels like, contrary to what your marriage is, contrary to what your kids are doing. I told Teresa, I said, we went through it all and come up there to Travis, and he gets married, and then he goes, and boy, he's making his own decisions, and we could tell how good they was. We had him constrained, Preston, to the Lord. But when he got up, 18, free to go do what I want to do, he run out there, and oh my God, bondage ain't the word that boy got himself into, with freedom. But you know what? While all that was going on, I told Teresa, I mean, I'm out there weed eating, blowing leaves and all of that, and I'm telling the Lord, I raised him up in the ammunition of the Lord. See, I could confidently go to my God because I had did what the Scripture said all them years, not knowing that I was going to face what I faced at the time that I began to face when the enemy began to work on my son and began to bring him out into the world, out from under the anointing, out from under the grace and the provision of God. And I told Satan, I said, you will not win. I said, I have obeyed the Lord and I trained him up in the ammunition of the Lord. Hallelujah. And you will not destroy his life. You will not take him. And I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in whom I am and whom I serve. Hallelujah. And you know what? Praise God, here he is today. I told Teresa, I said, there come a time when we had to stand on what we was believing. How many knows you be believing God for finances? Ask my little sister, my older sister. She's bigger than me too. I'm a little one. Not much. She's doing good. She decides to get debt-free, Timo. God began to tell her to get out of debt. She began to follow God, and God, she began to move her the way that she felt like the Lord wanted to, and all of that stuff. Then all hell broke loose in her finances. I mean, she was better off when she wasn't going forward believing God than she was. Seemed like it, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, you know what? She stood back here. She come to church that morning, cranked her truck up, hallelujah, and she says, I'm not going to quit. She said, I'm telling you, when I got out of debt and blah, 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 and I didn't have enough gas to get here, and I didn't have no money and no gas money to put in the, see, don't take it for granted if you're blessed. Don't begin to take it for granted. Remember where you was and remember how you believed God, and you believed God to have this hundredfold when you didn't have $20. When you didn't have no money, and she stood back there and she wasn't trying to tell nobody about it, but she stood and sat back there and she said, but I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. That's what she said. Well, when she did, the Spirit of the Lord moved on people in this church. She left here and they went and nearly filled her tank up, and $100 bills and blah, 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 blah. She wasn't. Somebody come to me and they said, well, why didn't you take up an offering for her? I said, I would have messed it up. I said, God was moving. I said, I don't know how much the woman got from God. It wasn't man orchestrated, but you know what it was? She said, I'm not going to quit, but God let Satan ramp and rage. How many knows he knew about that situation before it ever happened? God did. God did. God knows everything that's happening in our life. God's sitting there on his throne and he's saying, yep. He's saying, yeah, Nita can handle it now. Now I was sitting back there and told her something about she's wanting to do and all of that, you know, and I said, well, what about this? I'm just sitting there, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, and she said, well, I said, well, sometimes you got to get your head out of the box where you can see a bigger picture. Who are you, Scotty? I'm just Scotty, man. You know, but if she goes off, my head's been to ball. I hadn't thought about that. Maybe I need to expand my vision. Don't the Lord say he'll expand our vision? And don't it tell us to strengthen our stakes? Hallelujah. Don't it tell us to raise up with those that has feeble knees, strengthen them? It does. I'm not concerned whether I'm on backslide or not. I know I'm not. Why? I'm going to continually rely on this guy. Well, anyways, back to the book of Acts. I'm shooting. It seems like I'm just shooting down a rabbit hole and up and around. That's good. Because some of you get, I say, that's what I say. I don't know what you need, but God does. So you count church as the most important thing in this life after you give your heart to Jesus Christ. Because they was on that ship and they were letting down. They had thrown stuff off and, I mean, they were losing things left and right. They were trying to lighten the ship. According to that, the end of the ship had been torn. See, the church can look like it's going down and not worth nothing, and you stay with it. God, an angel of the Lord appeared to Saul, and he said, God has given you all their lives, 276 people, Eddie, on that ship that were fixing to die. They're fixing to bail out of that ship, and they're not going to live. This storm has tore for 14 days. Has tore this ship apart. How many times does the enemy come in and just attacked our lives day after day, week after week? He's trying to get us to abandon ship. He's trying to get us to get out of the Spirit. He's trying to get us to get out of the Lord. But the Lord said that He will not allow more to come on you. God don't put nothing on you. And this doctrine you hear out there with unlearned Christians that says God will not put no more on you than you are able to bear is not a doctrine. That scripture does not say that. God said He will not allow more to come on you than you are able to bear. And with the temptation, He's already made a way of escape. So don't ever let Satan make you think that God is allowing all this to come on you. That's not Scripture. We are supposed to be going forward, taking up serpents and treading on the devil, man. I mean, telling him, you ain't getting my wife. You are not going to get my son. You are not going to have my grandkids. And I tell him all the time, those that comes to this church, you are not going to get their lives. You are not going to get their kids. You are not going to have their finances. I'm going to preach this word led by the Holy Spirit, and they are going to engage, and they're going to lay hold of what you're telling them, and they are going to come out victorious in their life, more than conquerors, like your Bible says. Hallelujah. It's not up to me if you have victory or not. It's not up to Jesus. Jesus done settled it. He died on the cross. He said, it is finished. Then the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, go fight now. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of the things that are eternal. God's Word's eternal. Jesus said, there's two foundations. He said, one builds their house on the rock and one builds it on the sand. He's talking about the Word of God. He said, those that hears my word, my sayings, and does them, these are those that builds their house on the rock. He said, but those that hear and don't do, those that don't do, they build their life, my marriage, about my kids, the ministry, that, you know, I build on something that can fall apart if the enemy just comes in and just blows a little bit. Hallelujah. Well, the angel of the Lord stood that day and told Paul, God has given you all the lives of all these people. He said, tell them to stay on the ship. When I got to that, reading that back in 29 years old, the Spirit of God spoke to me at that time, and I was in my church, Preston. I didn't know nothing about this church. I wasn't open to pastoring. I was not. I was an evangelist, and somebody tell me about pastoring, I would tell them, you're missing God. Yeah, but you're anointed. Yeah, but God ain't told me to go pastor. And so I'm an evangelist. If I try to be a pastor, then I'm out of my place and I'm out of God's grace. I've not got God's approval on it. Kind of like somebody went to Kenneth Copeland one time, and a woman said, the Lord told me that you're going to be my husband. He's married. She's convinced that the Lord told her that a married man is going to be her husband. How many knows that's demonic? I reckon that's been 60 years ago. I've not seen him get a divorce. How many knows it wasn't God? Now she's believing, she's fasting. No matter what it looks like, it'll happen. See, it's contrary to the Scripture. The Bible says, if I look upon a woman and lust after her beauty, I've committed adultery in my heart as a Christian. Right? I am not supposed to lust after women, want them, desire them. If I have those thoughts come to my mind, I'm to cast them down and realize that those are spiritual, demonic thoughts, and I'm supposed to cast them out and keep my heart and mind clear. I have to do that, don't you? Whew, I don't know where to go from here. That's good stuff. But he told him, he said, stay with the ship. Now, 1 Samuel over there, I believe it is. I'm not going to go through the scripture because we don't want to hold you over 43 and a half minutes because we got too much to do this evening. I don't got nothing. I got a nap coming up. And if I don't get that nap, Preston, I'm still going to make it. You know what I mean? Because you know what? To me, this church service right here is our lifeline. I'm pointing you to Jesus here. I'm pointing you to, it's not, this church can't keep you in your marriage. This church can't keep you in your kids. This church is not equipped for that. This church is equipped to hear from the Lord and bring forth what we need in our hearts, that we take it and we go out and we put it into action in our lives. And God, that's what the church is equipped for. It's equipped to equip you. Hallelujah. Well, David had went, and I'm going to tell you this real quick. David had went, and he was out in battle. The enemies came, and they burnt down their tents, their cities, took all their wives, their children, and when they come back, they was all gone. All the kids, all the, and I mean, David was the leader, and they even said, we want to stone him. They was upset. They was hurt. They would just imagine you come home and somebody has took your kids and your everything, your money, your everything. Just took it all, wife and all, hallelujah. That really happened. And then David gets down, man, I mean, he's grieving, he's before the Lord. And it even says they wanted to stone him for it happening, you know. Well, the Bible says that David went and he inquired of the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews, me and you looking unto Jesus, right? He looked to God. He asked God. He said, God, he said, do I go after him or not? Do I pursue him or not, God? He said, what do I do here, God? He didn't say, I'm just going to leave the rest of them. This is terrible. He didn't surrender. But he went to God, and God said, pursue him. He said, and you will recover all. And I thought, I'm 30 years old, and I thought, man, my daddy, I believe, was supposed to have tractors he would have liked to have but never afforded them. I believe that he would have liked for us to have bicycles and couldn't buy them. I believe he would have liked for us to have nice clothes and she was 17 of it. All of that. I believe he would have liked. I had Eddie and Glenn's wore out BB guns that they was able to buy them one Christmas and give them to us the next. Remember, you could shoot a bird and it'd be like, what was that? Eddie and them done wore them out. I wanted to shoot a bird out of there and shot it and hit it and it just looked, didn't even fly off. That's how powerful the BB gun was. You know, and I thought about it. I thought, I bet you my dad, man, pray God. And so I thought, God, hallelujah. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I want everything my daddy didn't get that he desired because he didn't know you like I know you. Lord, I'm going to recover all. Tractors, I just mainly tractors. Because he had land, you know, house, a little bit of property. All of us would have got a rock off of it, 3 acres, whatever it was. And so, you know what? I laid hold of that. So you can recover whatever you feel like the enemy stole. If you feel like he stole your marriage, if you feel like he stole your relationship with your kids, You stand up and you believe God. Don't try to fix it in yourself. Go to God and inquire of the Lord. I mean, talk to God about it and say, God, what do I need to do here? What do I need to do here? And if you've found it in this service, then you go do that. You don't need to inquire of the Lord. If you sing things while I'm preaching, if I didn't even say, and you know that's the Holy Spirit. You take that, that's the word of the Lord to you, and you take that and you make up your mind between you and God that you are going to recover all. You're going to recover it. And you don't turn loose of it, and God will not watch over His word to perform it. Well, David went, Preston, he got up. Now, he could have sat there and said, what's the use? We ain't got no animals. We've lost all hope. We've not got no food to make it going after them. I mean, they took everything they had. He could have said, what's the use? Every time I try to fight, the enemy comes in. Don't let Satan get you playing that tune in your mind. If it ain't one thing, it's another, and get you thinking useless, that there's no use in trying. Because God was with David, and God was with you, and God will anoint you, anoint this increase to come into your life in every arena of your life, and it won't be your ability. That's where God comes in and faith comes in. And you know what? He went on, and the Bible says that he recovered all. Then he went on and he said, now I'm taking all this. He said, it says, and this spoil is for David. They had more before. They found all their wives, got all their kids, got all their animals, got all their riches, got all their money, got all their stuff. And by God, they went back more wealthy than when they was took captive. They recovered all and then some. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, praise God. I want to encourage you today. I'm not listening to the government, shut down, Schumer, blah, 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 because I'm looking to God. And we're looking unto God to bring breakthroughs and miracles. And I'm praying, God, let them look to you, those that's on SNAP and all that, and whatever they're not getting, those that are not getting paid, God, let your anointing come on them, those believers, God, that those that are not believing will see you show up and show yourself real to them, praise God, through them believing, and then they will want to know this God that we serve. Turn it around and work it to our good, God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.